Let me ask you to turn with me this morning to Isaiah 53. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 53, whatever version of the Lord's Word you have, whether it be on tablet, phone, or right in front of you with your physical Bibles. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to begin our reading at verse 1. Of Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to focus on one particular verse this morning as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. Let us read God's Word. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Now we come to the verse we're going to focus on this morning and ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This verse, by the way, is so important. It is the gospel of the Old Testament. It is one of the clearest statements of the gospel there is. If you mark in your Bible, I would have this one marked and underlined and starred and emphasized in whatever way I could. Let's read it. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, it is upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel and how prevalent it is, not just in the New Testament, but right here in Isaiah, that we see that God saves sinners. Lord, we thank you for this verse, and we pray, God, that we would be able to better understand and apply it as we prepare ourselves to receive the means of grace. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There was once this man who was nicknamed Old Blue Eyes. He's also known as the chairman of the board. One of the most popular singers ever. His career spanning over 50 years, recording hundreds of songs. He even had a nickname. He was called The Voice. That's decades before The Voice became the name of a program. Toward the end of his career, this man recorded a song that pretty much summed up his life. Lyrics of the song describe a man approaching death, looking back on his life, reflecting on all the things he had said and done. And this man is obviously quite satisfied. He's proud of the way he has always been in control of his life, how he's charted his own course. You're no doubt familiar with the lyrics. And now the end is near. And so I faced the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I planned each chartered course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this. I did it my way. You know, according to the lyrics of this song, the chairman of the board was not ashamed about the way he had lived his life. You know, regrets, he'd had a few, but then again, too few to mention. And he says, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh, no, not me. I did it my way. Year was 1969. The man is Frank Sinatra. 40-plus years after the release of that song, it's easy to see why even today the song My Way strikes a chord in many people's hearts. The song, after all, exalts rugged American individualism, independence, freedom to be who you want to be, to do what you want to do, to go wherever you want to go. It's a song, a chorus of praise, a freedom to chart your own course, to go your own way, do your own thing. You know, it's what this song is, though, friends. It is a profoundly accurate theme song for fallen people living in a fallen world. And this morning, as we prepare to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, open before us is Isaiah 53:6. This may be the best statement of the gospel in the entire 66 books of the Bible. And the big idea of this verse is simply this. The gospel is first bad news, then it's good news. That's the essence of what this verse is saying. The Bible is first bad news, then it's good news. Let's consider both aspects of the gospel this morning. Notice with me in the first place, the bad news of the gospel is this. I did it my way. That's the bad news. You know, any one of us can look back over our lives, our years. Some of us have had a few years, some of us a few more. We can all identify times and places and situations where we did it our way. And oftentimes we're happy with the way that we've done what we've done. The way we've dealt with challenges, we've kept our heads held high, as the song says. We chewed up our problems, we spit them out. But then there's other times, many times, too many times, in fact, when we did things our way and not the Lord's way. Maybe it was only later we realized what we had done. We felt embarrassed, ashamed, or maybe we just felt relieved that no one else found out what we did. Oh, we did it our way, but our way was the wrong way. See, that's what sinning sheep do. We reject God's way. We do it our way. The singer was proud of the way he did it his way. But I hope I can speak for you this morning. And when we sing, "I did it my way," I would hope that song would not be praising ourselves, but that song would be a confession of sin. We join with Isaiah in owning up to how many times in our lives, "Oh yes, we did it our way," but when you cut to the chase, isn't that what sin is? It's outlined right there. Sin is doing it my way, your way, our way. Sin is not doing it God's way. Here's how it goes. I know God wants me to be in the Word every day. But to quote Billy Sunday, if every professing Christian at one time blew the dust off their Bibles, we'd witness the greatest dust storm in the history of the world. I know God wants me to give generously, but then I'd have so much less money for myself, and I need all the money I can get. And there's this place in Exodus 20. It's called the Ten Commandments. It's funny, it doesn't say the Ten Suggestions, but the Ten Imperatives. And we're pretty sure we broke all ten this week, either in what we did or in here, in what we thought. Friends, do you see how inclusive this confession of sin is? Notice, it says, all we. Notice, no exceptions. No one's different from anyone else in this huge flock of fallen sheep. The record shows we acted just like stupid sheep who follow their eyes and noses, heads down, sniffing out the next delicious bite to satisfy our self-centered appetites. Sheep. Sheep always wandering around, sniffing out for greener pastures. Beloved, it's easy to wander. It's easy to encounter all kind of dangers when you keep your nose to the ground, grazing for immediate satisfaction, instant gratification. But that's what all we fallen sheep do. See, by nature, all we seem to care about is that next delicious bite, whatever catches our eyes, whatever suits our fancy, whatever floats our boat at any given moment of our lives. And while this straying is true of all of us, notice it says, we have turned, look at that next phrase, everyone to his own way. That is, we each have our own particular way of straying. I stray my way, you stray your way. It says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. eyes and noses to the ground. We follow the scent of what we think will satisfy us. You fill in the blank. Sex or success, chemical high, adrenaline rush, more money, more munchies, pride, prejudice. Whatever we think we need besides God, we each have our own pet sins that we take quite good care of. And we all go astray, blissfully unaware that we're heading headlong toward destruction. Sometimes we're aware, but we don't care. We planned our chartered course, each careful step along the byway, and we're going to do things my way. Truth be known, our lives look like the Israelites in the book of Judges. Judges 21:25, the commentary on the book is this. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Friends, left to our own devices, we are sheep who would wander all the way to hell. And that is really bad news. But now we move on to the good news of the gospel. Notice with me in the second place. While the bad news is that I did it my way, the good news of the gospel is this. God did it His way. See, we're not left to our own devices. I thank God that Isaiah 53:6 doesn't end in the middle of the verse. There's more. It says, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And I want you to be sure, wrap your mind and heart around this. This verse is saying, while we were straying and playing and speeding toward destruction, God was not sitting in heaven's grandstands just watching, wringing His hands. See, all through history, from the time of Adam and Eve, and even in eternity past, before the foundations of the world, it's in Ephesians chapter 1, God was planning His work, and God has been working His plan. And God's master plan fell into place at a place called Golgotha, or Calvary. In fact, God's plan fell into place when your sin, when my sin, when our premeditated planned sin, our iniquity, it's called there, fell upon Jesus. Notice, the Lord has laid on Him, that is, upon Jesus, the iniquity of us all. See, this confession of sin that began with we all got personal with each of us, and now it flows to this beautiful confession of faith, ending with us all again. Notice how the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. You see what Isaiah is doing? He is bringing the gospel in full circle in this simple verse. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, the prophet looks ahead to Calvary, where our suffering Savior suffered the punishment we deserve for our sin. The Hebrew says literally, the Lord caused our iniquity to fall on Him. See, God in His unspeakable love for stupid, stubborn, straying sheep, He let our sin fall on His Son. God let our guilt land on Jesus. He let His justice fall on Jesus. And all the wrath humanity had stored up for itself was absorbed on the cross by Jesus. And yes, it crushed Him. And while we should confess, Lord, I did it my way in my pride, my foolishness, my stupidity, we should also confess, but God did it His way. Martin Lloyd Jones once did a sermon entitled, But God. And he says, you go all through the Bible, and what you'll find is a record of humanity messing up something. And then the next phrase is, but God. God straightened it out. See, God's way is the way of unearned love, the way of grace greater than my sin, the way of in my place condemned He stood. It's the way of sacrifice. It's the way of Jesus as our sin bearer. You see, God's way is the only way for us to find forgiveness. God's way is the only way that we can find a solution to our sin problem. See, beloved, if you confess your sins, you also need to get on board with Isaiah and say, look, for the times I did it my way, God laid my sin, my guilt, God laid the very hell I deserve on Jesus. And because of that, I am forgiven. I am heaven bound. I'm at peace, not because I did it my way, but because God did it His way on Calvary. So what now? What does the gospel mean for sheep like us who still by nature are prone to wonder? Well, if you get the gospel, if you really get it this morning, and I hope you get it. If you don't get it, don't take communion. But if you get the gospel this morning, one result of embracing the gospel is this. You see, since your heart is grounded in the gospel, yes, you may wonder, but here's the difference. You no longer love to wonder. Wondering really bothers you. It's a problem in your life and not just something you accept. You don't keep your eyes and noses to the ground sniffing around for the next green pasture promising to satisfy your appetites. You know, because of the gospel, you know what? Because of the gospel, you're not that sheep anymore. The theme song of your life is no longer I Did It My Way. The soundtrack is Good Shepherd music. And we hear the voice of the Good Shepherd as He speaks to us through the Bible. And we follow the Good Shepherd. I love the way the Apostle Paul puts it in Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2. He says, and I quote, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Noses to the ground? No. Now by God's grace, it's eyes to the skies. Hearts, minds, looking up, fixed on heavenly things. We're looking at life through the lens of eternity. The last song Frank Sinatra sang before his death, the very last one, was this. The best is yet to come. And that's what's etched on his tombstone. The best is yet to come. Now, I cannot speak for him. I wouldn't even try. And I never had the opportunity to talk to him about his spiritual condition. But here's what I can tell you without any doubt whatsoever. All of us have to stand before God. And we need to make two confessions as we stand before God. First of all, we need to confess this morning with much shame, regret, with hearts drained of all hope. Yes, Lord, I did it my way. But then we don't end with that confession. We end with a confession of confidence. It goes something like this. Since I believe what this verse says, and I'm trusting what this verse says, then I know that God did it His way to rescue me from my way. That's what God did. See, He did it His way to rescue us from our way. And praise God, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for all who believe, and only for those who believe, can we really say this morning, the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You for this very simple statement of the gospel. Help us to understand that the gospel does begin with bad news. The bad news is the essence of sin is going our own way and doing our own thing without regard for Your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ. But Lord, we thank You that there is good news. And the good news is not about getting better or being more moral or being religious. The good news is all about what You've done for us, that You have laid our iniquity upon Jesus Christ, that He has been punished in our place, He has died in our place. And this sin we bear no longer. And this sin does not attract us like it used to, because your Son, Jesus, is much more attractive to us than any sin. Lord, help us to embrace this gospel and to live it out. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.